Well, good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Especially, I think, during these times and seasons. As we look around in the world situation, we see that there are many of our brothers and sisters in the Lord who are being persecuted. They are losing their lives for the faith. But God is working. And I think we, of all people, should be very thankful that we are in the place where we can still worship freely. Before I read a portion of Scripture, we're going to commend this service to the Lord, and we'll open the Word of God first. Father, as we consider your great love to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have come here this morning with a heart to remember him through the emblems that we see before us. And so, Father, we, with grateful hearts, would thank you, and we would honor and praise the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would lead us in this time of remembrance. In Jesus' name, amen. A very familiar portion of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 23. I am going to suggest, and this is not original with me, but there are five looks that we look to when we use the Lord's table. And I'm going to mention them, and as we read through it, first of all, there's a look up. Then there's a look back, a look forward, a look ahead or forward, and then a look in. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he took it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner also, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself for not discerning the Lord's body. In verse 23, we have a look back. Paul says, I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you. He was looking back when he had received this, and he's delivering it to them. And he explains that on the night that when he was betrayed, he took the bread and the cup. And the look forward is this. In the same way also, in verse 25, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And a look ahead, for as often as you eat, in verse 26, this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And a look in. Whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of our Lord. So those are the looks that we have. But let's expand on that in a little further. Most of you probably already know that Jesus has left his church, the body, two ordinances. And of course, the one is baptism as we know it. And it's the immersing of believers in the water. It's a symbol of the new life of Christ on the inside. We are buried with him in death. We are raised to new life in him. And of course, the other is what we'll be remembering this morning, the Lord's Supper. And this too is a symbolic service or observance, yet it is one that holds great meaning for you and I as believers and as children of God. In the Lord's Supper, we can find the reason for our very existence as believers. and our hope for the future as well. So it is a time of remembrance in verse 24 to 26. We know that it is a look forward and it's a look ahead, but the whole symbol is a look up. We can remember an agonizing Lord, an agonizing Lord. I think the last time I was here, someone read a portion of scripture during the first service regarding and expanded on the sufferings of Christ. The bread and the juice and represent the body and blood of the Lord Jesus, the body that was broken and the blood that was shed. It was a most cruel and agonizing death that he had to die to save our souls in dying. And he opened the gates wide for salvation. And now whoever will can enter freely. And as you and I partake of the bread and the wine, please remember just what he did for you so many years ago at Calvary. So we remember an agonizing Lord, but we also remember an achieving Lord. When Jesus died, he didn't say, stay that way for long. And thank God that 3 days later, he arose from the dead and conquered death, hell, and the grave. And therefore, ensuring eternal life for all who will receive him by faith. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to 6, regarding the resurrection, to affirm this, it says, now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. Verse 3, his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. And this is why the Lord's Supper is nothing more than a symbol. Jesus is alive and well this morning. Do you believe that? He's alive and well this morning, seated at the right hand of God the Father. Yes, he died, but now he's alive forevermore. So we remember an agonizing Lord. We remember an achieving Lord. But greater still, we remember an appearing Lord. We look forward. I look forward. So after Jesus rose from the dead, he ascended back into heaven and took up his place at the right hand of the Father. And that's Hebrews 10, verse 12, which says, but when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And his promise then was that he would return someday for his people, the bride of Christ, the church. Are you part of that bride? Are you part of Christ? John 14, verses 1 to 3, a very familiar portion of scripture says, let not your heart be troubled, believe in God. Believe also in me, Jesus said. In my Father's house there are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you that I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Can God lie? Not a bit. When Jesus, who is part of the Godhead, said, I will come again, I will take you to myself, does that cause joy in your heart? I trust that it brings about a resolve and, of course, an eternal hope. Acts chapter 1, verse 9 to 11 says this, and when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood before them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you have seen him go into heaven. Are you waiting to see him coming in the clouds? I remember we were dealing, and I've shared this before. Dr. Ron Gannett, a preacher, said, "When you see a cloud, shout out loud, perhaps today." So a cloudless sky? Oh, let's pray for clouds. No, I'm just saying. Every time that we take the bread and the cup, we are to remember first that he died. But he lives, and he's coming back soon. He is returning to take us to be with himself to heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 to 18 says this, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel and the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore," what? "Encourage one another with these words." There are people afraid, and it's only because Christ doesn't know them. A lot of people say they know Christ, but does Christ know you? And that's the important part. "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. But Lord, haven't we done this? Haven't we done that? Haven't we done that? Having the appearance of godliness, but lacking the power thereof." It's critical that we know who we believe in. And 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 and 52 says this, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed." Aren't you glad those aches and pains and everything else will be gone, and we will put on incorruption, immortality? So it's a time of remembrance, but it's also a time of repentance. A look in. "Whoever eats, therefore, and the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. So let a man or person examine himself then, and so eat of the cup, or eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died." So what do we repent from? Well, we repent from our sins, obviously. And the verse paints a very solemn portrait of the Lord's Supper, doesn't it? It seems the Lord takes it very seriously, and he expects us to deal with our sin before we partake of the bread and the cup. That is why we have time of prayer and before the elements are given out. And God hasn't changed his mind on any of this. The situation at Corinth, where this letter was written to, was that it wasn't being taken seriously. In other words, the communion was not being taken seriously, and people were sickly and dead because of the lack, because of their taking the Lord's Supper so lightly. If we have sinned, and we all have, there is forgiveness, of course, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But I think there's another reason to repent, and that is from our selfishness in verse 17 to 22, if you want to look that up. So the attitude and practice in Corinth, the Lord's Supper is a time when we are to remember the selflessness of Jesus and make that trait paramount in our own lives. In other words, we are to place others ahead of ourselves. It is a good time for us to remember that we were purchased, we were bought with a price. And that price cost the Lord Jesus Christ his life and his blood. Isaiah 51:1. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. We need the Lord Jesus Christ to fill us so that, and cover us with his blood, and the Holy Spirit to fill us so that the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Without Christ, of course, we are nothing. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. And John 15, verse 5 says this, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that hears, bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So it's a time of remembrance. It's a time of repentance. But finally, it's a time of renewal. Verse 30 and 31. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. I think we have to be careful of what we vow or promise God. If we have promised anything to the Lord, the question is, have we carried it out? And I'm going to read Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1 to 5. It says here, guard your steps when you go into the house of the Lord. To draw near, to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes with much busyness, and a fool's mouth with many words. When you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you owe or vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Is there anything that's left undone that you promised? The Lord knows. And pray that as we examine ourselves, that we would judge ourselves, and that we wouldn't have to be judged for our error. So not only in what we promise the Lord, but what about our vision? This time at the Lord's table is a great time for us to remember why we are here anyway. We should all take this time to ask the Lord to renew our vision. And may I suggest in three different ways? A world lost without Jesus. We need to recapture the burden for the lost. Christ, that's what he was all about. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Ephesians 2:12 says, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ and alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So our vision for the lost. What about a vision of a Lord worthy of our best service, faithfulness, and worship? Titus 2, verses 11 to 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and a glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy and a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And that brings us to our next point. A church with a future is only as large as its commitment. Psalm 37, verse 5 and 6, commit your way to the Lord and trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. And what about Proverbs 16, verse 3? Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. And finally, our victory. This is the great time to bring our defeats, our trials, our valleys, our hurts, and our struggles to the Lord and let him remind us that he hasn't forgotten us in any way, that he's working everything out for our good in Romans chapter 8:18. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. And that in him, believe it or not, you always walk in victory because he has overcome the world. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 15:57. That in him you are more than conquerors. Romans 8:37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Recently I heard a song that says, the greater the battle, the sweeter the victory. The greater the battle, the sweeter the victory. Can you imagine the victory that Christ experienced after he rose from the dead? So this morning, if you do not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not saved, and God is dealing with your heart, I invite you to come to Jesus and receive him as your Savior. If you are saved, but there are things in your life that are hindering your walk with God, bring them to the Lord this morning and let him take care of those needs. Get rid of those weights that slow down and hinder your progress for Jesus. Or if you're in a storm today, come to Jesus and let him remind you of your great victory in him. Whatever the need, bring it to the Lord Jesus today, and he can and will meet it. Let's also remember that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning paid a great price, the great cost of our wonderful salvation. And let's continue to be faithful to the calling we have to remember him until he comes. Let's pray. Father, we're just reminded this morning that we truly, apart from you, are nothing. And we know that there's victory in Jesus Christ. By faith, there is victory. And we look at many of the men and women of Scripture, and Hebrews 11 is filled with their names. We thank you that there is victory through faith. And Father, for your great love, your great mercy, your great compassion, your great faithfulness, and your willingness to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, Father, this morning, as we look forward to the time around this table, would you bless us, keep us, sanctify us. And Lord, thank you for your presence. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.